And we're...
How true.
I know.
We are.
This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
This week we've done some rotating. I'm back.
Will's Yay. Back.
Sarah's gone.
Yeah, we changed out.
Only one Meadows at a time?
Yeah, you can't handle it.
We'll see which episode's better.
That's right. Yeah. You rate it, audience. Let us know. I'm sure the last week's was good. I did listen to it. Well done. Y'all covered the grounds. Just
did you
fine.
Like our new opener that
I
did?
I liked that a lot. Yeah. That was creative.
Was that
idea?
Katie's idea?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Katie. I don't remember. That's been a whole week ago.
I feel like it was mine, but it was just because I was in the moment.
I think it was yours. Right?
It might not have been
mine. I feel like it was yours.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Very could well be good. Oh, well. All right.
I'm mumbling over here.
Okay. So this week we have 7 games coming to Kickstarter March 19th. Well, the week of March 19th. I'm sorry. I'm new at this. That's normally Sarah's job.
And there's more than that, but we're just talking about 7.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's true. We're only talking about 7 of them.
At least. Maybe more.
Plus an interview with someone. Special.
Ooh, yeah. Something cool. That's going to be awesome. So last week, I was away. This week, Sarah is away. She's actually doing some camping, like probably the most intense camping trip that I've ever been on.
Not glamping.
It is glamping. It's like 15 days. It's crazy. I had a convention in Nashville. She was with me. Her folks drove out from Nebraska and met us, and then they're going to camp for like literally 2 weeks in between my last convention and the next one that I'm going to. So that'll be an adventure. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're in a camper, so it will be a little easier, but
With the three boys.
Yes. Good luck to you all. They did hit some board games, so hopefully they'll be all right and stay entertained. My convention went really well. The only thing that was super weird is that I traveled like across the time zone, so I lost an hour. And then the next day, time change happened, spring ahead, traveled to the future. And then I drove an hour home. So when I woke up this morning, I literally had no idea what time it was.
Yeah. And we were talking about this earlier, and it occurred to me that there's all these time travel movies where people travel back in time, forward in time, but they aren't necessarily arriving at the same hour of the day.
Right.
But they never experience jet lag, the time travel lag.
This is a thing.
Where is my realism?
That's right.
That's what I want to know.
Can you create a movie?
Somebody needs to.
I'm going to create a movie, and he's going to be tired the whole time.
What a great
time travel lag. I can't wait. Cool. All right, so let's take a moment to give a shout-out to our sponsors.
This episode is not only sponsored by Bezier Games and Final Frontier Games, but also...
Boardwalk.
Yeah. The Game Toppers, LLC... They create game furniture that goes on top of your existing table, and it's pretty sweet. It looks like a super awesome game table, but for less expensive.
Right, and then uses your existing furniture like as the legs and base, which is very cool. We just bought a bunch of neoprene to like just lay on top of our tables, which has been really nice. I've actually enjoyed that a lot. Mm-hmm. But there's this whole nother level that gets added when you've actually got the wood and the cup holders and the pieces, you know, trays and things like that.
It's really cool. And you can go to their website, GameToppersLLC.com, to check out more stuff. We're going to jump into our house guest segment with Jamie Stegmeier of Stonemeyer Games. Welcome to the house.
Hey! Thank you so much for having me.
We have Will, myself, and Ryan, and Melissa in the background.
She's hanging out.
She's...
We're super glad to be able to get you on the show. Obviously, we talk about a lot of Kickstarter stuff on here, and I know that you're no longer doing the Kickstarter thing, but you're obviously a really recognized and a really well-respected and written author. I don't know what all the words I'm looking for here.
Authority.
Yeah, authority. That's a good word. On the subject, one of the questions that we kind of had just right out of the gate was, we very much respect the decision that you've made to steer away from doing the Kickstarters now that you've been established. Mm-hmm. What was it that was kind of like the final tipping point, though, to make that decision? Can that be narrowed down to like one thing?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few key reasons, but it really came down to when I was fulfilling Scythe. Scythe was, as you guys know, was a very successful project. We delivered early. I think it met everyone's expectations, or many people's expectations.
Or exceeded, yes.
Or exceeded, hopefully exceeded some people's, yeah. There were still some things that kind of dragged me down a little bit during the fulfillment that made me decide not to do it again. One big one, I won't go into all of them, but one big one was the risk I realized during fulfillment. So everything can go right during a project, and then if a fulfillment center just decides they don't want to ship the game or they don't want to package it well, that can cost you tens of thousands of dollars, or on a project like Scythe, they can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I didn't want to put that level of success in the hands of someone a company that I didn't have control over.
Gotcha. So you stay, you continue to do your Kickstarter blog.
Right.
Is that weekly?
The Kickstarter blog is two times a week. Yeah.
Two times a week. Mm-hmm. And so how are you staying current on Kickstarter now?
Well, I'm still an avid backer of Kickstarter campaigns. And I still run a publishing company. So I'm still, so much of what I do is inspired by other project creators and inspired by the mistakes that I made on Kickstarter and the things that I learned from Kickstarter. I still want to do many of those things in my current company. So I really still pay attention to Kickstarter all the time, both as a backer and just to learn from what other people are doing, so I can emulate those things without Kickstarter.
Can you give us an idea of just what your normal day looks like in the game development world? I mean, yep. I think people look at you and they think, does he just play games all day? Does he design games all day? What does the average day look like in a full-time game designer's, purview?
It would be lovely if my day could be playing and designing games. But for the most part, I wake up around 7 o'clock every day and I spend at least 4 or 5 hours on like customer service and communications every day. And then another probably 2 to 3 hours on some level of game development. Usually games, at least at this point in my company, they're not games that I'm designing. They're games designed by other designers. So like today I spent a lot of time proofreading a rule book for a game that we're coming
out
with.
That sounds so fun.
Melissa is making great faces over there. we've dipped our toes into that pool. So yeah. You're doing that on, like, you're hired out to do that for them, or is that business relationships that you have that you're just kind of growing and building all the time, or?
Well, like, for the one today, for example, is a game that we're publishing later this year. So I've spent a lot of time helping that designer develop the game, make it balanced. I've coordinated the blind playtest for it. I do the project management for all the artists and graphic designers and logistics and manufacturing. So I'm kind of like the hub for all of that stuff to make sure that other people are doing it. And every once in a while, something like the proofreading happens where the final word comes down to me. I need to make sure it's consistent with our style. I need to make sure the rulebook works for people like you who need to learn the game, things like that.
Yeah. Cool, very cool.
So usually my design time is limited. Like right now we're recording this at night, just after dinner. Usually I get through the day, I get to dinner, and then after dinner I get a few hours for design time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then obviously let's talk about the fun part though, which is playing the games.
Yes.
I heard that normally Monday nights you're doing some campaign games. Is that what you're normally up to?
Yeah, Monday is usually my campaign or legacy night. Wednesday is a game night that I host every week that's about 2.5 hours for other games. And usually on weekends we do a game day every other weekend or so. This weekend actually I'm hosting a big game day. We'll be playing games all day.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you say you've been backing some projects on Kickstarter. What are some of the recent ones that you've been looking at?
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick. Let's see. There have been a lot that have been coming out recently. I backed two on the same day that were pretty expensive. There was Aeon's End Legacy, and then The Reckoners were on the same day. Like within,
yes, you're like, a fan of Brandon Sanderson, so I thought you'd probably back that one.
So are Kevin and I.
Yeah.
Really like his books, too.
I actually just started the Way of Kings series, or the, what's the name of the series? It's the first book's called The Way of Kings.
Stormlight
series?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just started that the other night, so looking forward to how that goes.
And that there will be a game based on that, too, apparently. There are some designers working on that.
Oh, I haven't heard about that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I don't know much about it yet. But yeah, the Reckoners looks really cool. Nauvoo Games, they did Stockpile. They know how to put together a good game. And then Aeon's, I love any legacy game. I'm a sucker for any legacy game. And then I backed Swordcrafters, actually, thanks to you guys. I saw your video about it. I thought, that looks really cool that you actually get to build a sword and have set collection and whatnot. So yeah, I backed that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really curious to see what their final production looks like for that, because it's a really clever concept. As long as those components hold up, I think it'll be some fun.
I think if they get some thick, high-density cardboard, it'll hold up for a while.
Yeah, I think so.
So, Kickstarter in general, there's been a lot of changes. What are some of those big changes that you've seen as a publisher from where it was and to where it is now?
Well, so a few things I've noticed lately. I wouldn't even call these trends, but I've seen some projects do that. One I've seen that there have been some projects that are completely Kickstarter exclusive. So not like there's just like a component or a mechanism or something that's exclusive, but they come out and say, we're only publishing this on Kickstarter and nowhere else afterward. I think the Batman project is doing that right now. The Seventh mm-hmm. Continent reprint did that.
We had to back that one.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting business model to say, you know, we don't think this, we can't make enough money selling this to distributors at a 60% discount, so we're just going to put it out on Kickstarter. And actually, in line with that, the other trend I'm seeing is some games that just cost a ton of money. Like the Batman game, again, I don't want to highlight that one too much, but I think for the deluxe version of that, it's over $300.
It's crazy.
A lot of money to spend on a game, yeah.
Yeah, but people are doing it. Obviously, it's something that the audience must be interested in, so it's interesting.
So right. We only have a few minutes left. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about where Stonemaier is right now and some things that you can talk about coming soon.
Yeah, tell us all the secret things that our audience has really wanted to hear. That's what they're waiting for.
Well, in about 10 days after this podcast comes out, I will announce the new Viticulture expansion, which I say that it got leaked, and really it was me that accidentally leaked it.
Oh, no. You have yourself to blame.
This is a new strategy.
No.
I think it's emerging on...
Yeah, I put a little thumbnail, like the tiniest, most pixelated little thumbnail of the box in our latest e-newsletter, and someone on BoardGameGeek blew it up and enhanced it. And revealed the name of the expansion, which kind of gives away what the expansion is, which I did not expect.
Technology.
So I learned to be careful about that in the future. The name that was revealed by that is called Visit from the Rhine Valley.
But is it real? Did they translate it correctly?
They did.
Confirmed. All right.
And then we have another game that we'll be announcing in early May for a Gen Con release alongside with the new Scythe expansion, which will also be released at Gen Con. Actually, that's kind of a scoop that I haven't said for sure that we're releasing these things at Gen Con. And so unless something crazy happens with shipping, that's definitely the plan.
Sure.
Awesome. Are you using the same manufacturing for each game, or have you been moving around a lot on those, or what's the...
Yeah, I kind of found a sweet spot with Panda. I don't like to do a bunch of quotes with different companies. I'd rather just find a company that I trust and that communicates well and that I can consolidate shipping for. So I use Panda for everything.
Okay.
So since you're trying to get these out by Gen Con,
yeah.
I know usually you're over at, is it the Marriott?
Last year we couldn't. Marriott was under construction, but this year at Gen Con, we're sharing a booth with MeepleSource.
Okay.
They'll be running the booth, so I won't actually be there. I'll be back in the conference room where we've been in previous years.
Sure.
It's kind of a calmer, more quieter space, and we'll be demoing games there. Yeah.
And so MeepleSource will be selling the games that you'll have for sale there?
They will, yeah.
That's great. Cool.
Head that direction, everybody.
Are you all going to be there at Gen Con?
Yes, we'll be there. And well, some of us will be there. I don't know if the whole Tantrum House team will be there, but we'll definitely see you there.
Cool. Yeah, thank you all. Kevin, I don't think you were there, but a few of you stopped by last year in the little conference.
Yeah, I think we sent most of the ladies last time.
Me and the girls.
That's right. Yeah.
I had work obligations, but I'm making sure I do not have them this year.
Good.
So, anyway. Yeah. Well, it was great having you on the show, Jamie. Tell our listeners where they can find more about Stonemaier Games.
If you go to stonemaiergames.com, you can find all the different Facebook groups and links and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff there.
Cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We really had a great time talking to you. We'll be looking forward to seeing these new developments this spring.
Definitely.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah.
Bye! Thanks, Jamie. Awesome time having him on the show. Very cool. He actually kind of slipped in. We had an opening slot, and it was super great of him to be flexible enough to just kind of jump in and join us. Always putting out cool stuff over there. If you guys haven't checked out his Stonemaier blog,
It is the like quintessential resource for Kickstarters.
And he's putting out other kinds of stuff on his blog too. So he has different kinds of blogs.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool stuff.
Check them all out. But I guess that gives us a good opportunity to jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
All right, Ryan. So what are you looking at?
Rice Dice, coming March 19th to Kickstarter. It is a game where you roll several dice. I think it's 5 or 6 dice. And then you see what the results are. And you can choose one of the symbols on the dice to take an action. And that action might be planting a field with rice or harvesting if you have the worker action icon. Or if you have the water icon, you can flood your fields or pass the water down through your fields to another field and so on. So basically you're just planting, harvesting, reaping the rewards, and trying to get lots of points before your opponents, who have the automatic 10 points every turn, get up and...
Yeah, or they throw they throw weeds in your field.
Exactly. Dirty. I had the weedless field. Each of your tiles represents...
It's cards.
Each of your cards represents a different spirit of the rice paddy. I believe it's a continuation of another game.
Yeah, it's a streamlined version of Spirits of the Rice Paddy.
Yeah. And these each give you different abilities. So I had one that allowed me to, every time I rolled draw cards, I get an extra 2 cards. And another one that didn't let anybody plant weeds in my field, so I never had to worry about weeding my fields. But there are some others which can be really powerful. Like if you have one that has, like, I think there's one where if you have the most watered tiles, you get, you know, 5 points or 10 points every round. And then Kevin had a really strong one.
Yeah.
I think it was if you have the most rice paddies in general, you just get 10.
Yeah, I think it was 5 or 10 points. And then, but I was actually going after some of the cards give you more workers. So whether you roll the workers or I mean, if you take the worker action and I only like rolled 1 or 2 workers, I have cards that let me automatically have more workers. So I was able to do more stuff. Like I was able to plant more because of that.
Yeah. So it's definitely a balance of getting the right abilities for yourself, getting your own engine working, but also trying to subvert somebody else's engine. Because if he didn't have the most tiles, then I would have prevented him from getting several points every turn.
Yeah.
But I ignored that and lost.
Did I see that you guys did do a review of this on Preview Kickstarter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be up by the time this podcast is live.
Cool, check out Rice Dice.
Will, what are you talking about this week?
So I actually just got a game in the mail today that I think we're going to do a Kickstarter preview for.
Let's do an unboxing right before their very ears.
Yeah, can you listen to this?
Very
the sound
ears.
Of the cardboard opening and the...
Ooh, oh, there actually is paper in here.
Yeah.
Oh, crinkly.
What is the name of this game?
This game is Imperious from designer Grant Roderick. It's a card drafting game. Looks like it's got some cool tokens in here. Can you hear that extra plastic right there?
From Colossal?
Oh, Katie.
Yeah, from Colossal. And I didn't realize this. We had them on the show not too long ago.
In January.
Western Legends.
Yep, Western Legends.
And I didn't realize this at the time, but I guess their plan is to put out a new Kickstarter like every month.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's insane. That blows my mind.
So they have to dig Kami-sama.
Which Katie, you backed.
Ooh, I did. Yeah. I like Kami-sama.
And that one funded successfully, which is awesome. This one will be coming
March 20th.
Next Tuesday. Is that what it is?
March 20th.
Looks like it's got some really cool futuristic card art, and you start off with a hand of, you know, 5 cards, I think.
And I believe it's
drafting.
just 2 players. Oh, 2 to 4. It says 2 to 4. I'm sorry.
It's more than that. It looks like you're just trying to build collections of cards that grant you good points, but it's like sci-fi themed kind of. It looks kind of like Princess Amidala from
exactly. Star Wars.
The face paint, the big hair.
Yeah.
But there's also some swords and things in there too. So I don't know. The artwork looks pretty cool. We're gonna give it a shot. We haven't actually played it yet. Literally just opened it tonight.
Yep.
But we'll do a playthrough and put some thoughts together for a video soon. So be sure to check that one out.
It definitely has a cool space opera feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very slick. Kevin, what do you got?
I have a game I want to talk about that's coming March 19th. It's called Fire in the Library!
Ooh. That's like the worst place to have a fire.
Save the books!
I know, poor Moses cringing over here, the bookworm. This is a press your luck game. You are pulling cubes, colored cubes from a bag on your turn, and the colored cubes represent different colored books, like purple books and yellow books and blue books or white books. And anyway, there's four different colored books.
All the other colored books you're familiar with.
Yes. Yeah. All those colored books, red book, blue book, green book, whatever.
I think there's black and white.
Yes, that's true. Thank you, Katie. And then there are colored cubes of color red, but those aren't books.
They're fire.
They're fire.
They're fire tokens. And when you're pulling fire tokens out of the bag, basically that could end your turn because... you're pressing your luck trying to pull the non-red cubes out of the bag. And when you pull the red cube out of the bag, end your turn, and you're basically burning the colored books that you pulled previously.
So it's
previously.
Like your fault.
It's your fault.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, that's
yeah.
harsh.
And as the books burn, though, they become more valuable.
This makes sense.
So oh. sometimes you do want certain colors to of burn. Books to burn because it's going to give you more points.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
So do the colors represent different types of book, like
I
the reference
they
section?
Do.
They do. They do.
It's the young
but
adult.
The Dewey Decimal.
Some of those book. I wouldn't mind burning.
Oh. It's a 1-6 player game, which is kind of fun for a press your luck game. And it plays pretty fast. I think we played 6-player last Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
And cool. I like the way that you pull like the four cards out, and I don't really know what those are called, mm-hmm. but you kind of build this picture of a library
yeah.
with the backs of those four cards.
Yeah.
And then as you go through the deck revealing additional cards, the cards change
right.
and the picture actually like catches on fire, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, because as the different sections of the library burn, more fire is getting added into the bag. So that means you have a higher risk of getting fire
mm-hmm.
and pulling fire, which is not good. But there's cool things. There's a way to mitigate the risk, and that's with the tool cards. And they can help you like throw cubes to other players or save your cubes and throw water on your bucket. Or throw a water bucket on your books.
Doesn't that also ruin books?
Yeah.
That kind of does sound like it. I think that's supposed to just help you make it out with the books.
You're using the water on the fire.
On the fire.
Oh, on the
not
fire.
On the books.
Yeah, they're different.
Yeah,
the fire.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Or a shovel to do put dirt on them or something.
Dirty the books.
Anyway. So, anyway, that is Fire in the Library from Weird Giraffe Games. That's coming March 19th. And it's a very fun push your luck game. You should check that one out. Melissa.
Yeah, and we have a video of that.
And there is a video as well from us on our YouTube channel. Melissa.
I am looking at Vinyl, which is also coming on March 19th. It is a 2-4 player game that plays...
About your kitchen floor?
No, vinyl as in record.
Oh,
yeah.
Retro.
Yes. So, and it is retro, and it's going to be collecting albums from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And it's set collection and hand management. So you have different genres like rock, pop, western, and jazz. They made up all these different tongue-in-cheek titles of songs. And then the people who... the artists. So if you know those genres and years, you might have a few chuckles.
Oh yeah,
because
they like made some like puns on some of the songs.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, like the Bee Gees.
Oh my. But it is from the publisher is Talon Strikes Studios. Mm. The designer is Eric Alvarado, and it has a little bit of sort of worker placement action selection where you have to put your meeple on a spot, the store,
mm-hmm.
to get these magazines with icons on them. And those are what you turn in to actually buy the albums. And then you are trying to make collections. And your collections either need to be the same genre or you can mix genres, but you need to match certain icons to then turn in those sets for your collection for points. So it is whoever gets the most points, and there's an interesting bumping mechanism. So if I'm in a spot and Kevin wants to take that, he can go do that action, but it's going to bump me and I get to do another action on that spot. So it's kind of like I get an extra action if someone takes my same spot. So that was pretty cool. We've played it several times.
2-player, 4-player. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen this one at all.
No.
Y'all are hiding this somewhere.
What does the artwork look like?
One of the
reasons
I didn't bring it is because the board is paper thin.
The prototype.
And
prototype.
The prototype board itself is not a board. It's a piece of paper rolled up.
And it's really long. It's probably...
It's like...
Oh,
and I was like, if I bring it here and something happens, then we can't do
the video review is now gone.
So we will have a video of this. It makes a little bit more sense when you're seeing it as opposed to listening to me try to describe it. But it is set collection. It has that old-timey record store look to it with like a sale bin and the record bin.
Very wood grainy. It's kind of cool.
Okay, cool. Is it like album art? Like, is it square? I'm imagining.
It's square.
Is it? Okay, cool. Yeah.
So kind of square cards. They this point, all of the albums had the same art on them, just different names, but there are a lot of icons.
Lots of icons.
So the icons are what are different.
Actually, the album cards, if you look, each of the different genres have different art. So I think like the jazz might have like a brick feel to it or something. So
I did lots not
of,
I did that.
Lots of potential, for sure. Right. It would be interesting to see what the final pieces end up looking like.
It's okay, Katie.
All right, so I'm going to talk about Growl. It's coming to Kickstarter March 20th. This is a party game. I'm not sure, I don't have down how many people can play, but it sounds like there could be a lot of people playing this. But it's got the idea of there is a village and there is a werewolf. And in this... the werewolf is trying to bite the villagers to turn them into werewolves.
Is this game called Werewolf?
Well, you play it with cards.
Lion werewolf.
And you have to... a villager who ends up with three bite cards becomes a werewolf. Ooh, and they also spread bite cards. Whereas regular villagers can't actually spread bite cards. But there are things that you can do as a villager... to try to wound somebody you think is a werewolf. So you can try to hand... you're like passing cards to people face down, trying to give them cards that you think is going to help you in whatever position you're currently in, whether you're a villager or a werewolf. And so it's one of those that at the end of the round, then, like, there's the werewolf zero, who's the one who started it. And if they have survived to the end, and they get to win. If they, you know, they've killed. If everybody turns into a werewolf, then of course, obviously win. So it's got a lot of the like trying to be sneaky in the way that you're handing cards off to other people. It looks like it could be a fun, just a fun party game that you can play with lots of people. That's coming
4 to 7 players, up to 10 with more cards.
So, So Ryan quickly looked that up for me. So that's coming, that's Growl, coming March 20th to Kickstarter. Kevin, do you have another one?
I do. I have another one on March 20th.
Okay.
It is Railroad Rivals. This is coming from a new publisher company called Forbidden Games.
Mm-hmm.
And the designer of this game is Glenn Drover. He has done some other stuff in the board game industry. This game is for 1 to 5 players. It plays in about 30 to 60 minutes. So, you know, nice time frame. It's not too long, not too short. This is a train theme game.
What?
I know.
Railroad? What?
I know. Basically connecting cities with railroads. And as you do that, you are building your stock portfolio because it's like you're delivering these goods to the different cities. So as you deliver certain types of goods, you're increasing your stock portfolio in these 12 different railroad companies.
Hmm.
So it has the card drafting, pickup and deliver, and some tile placement to it. So
the trifecta.
Yeah, sounds pretty cool. Katie, what do you have?
All right, so I have one more, and this one is called Songbirds. And first of all, I'd like to say that the art is absolutely lovely on this one.
Mm.
It's got a very simple style to it, but it's wonderful. This game is coming March 20th. It's for 1 to 4 players. They have a variant that you can play a solo player. And basically... there are these 4 different colored bird cards with different values on them. You each have a hand of cards, and you're laying them down in a grid pattern. Mm-hmm. Now, you're trying to get a controlling number in columns and rows.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the columns and rows are worth different amounts of points at the end of the game. So you're trying to get the controlling amount in these things. But what is really interesting about this is that you don't know what color bird you're going to be until the very end. The last card that you keep will be the color
bird you
get points for.
You can try
and kind of narrow down.
Yes. Yeah, so you're making the choices, But if you have a handful of, like, blue and yellow birds, you'll have no chance at white birds, you know?
Okay. So you sort of know what you could be, but it...
Yes, but okay. You can kind of reserve your choice till the very end. If you see, well, I have a white and a blue bird left, and they're both doing really well, I'm going to see what other players play. Okay, I'm definitely going with the white bird because it's got more points here and here. And so it's a very simple concept, but it looks like it's going to be a really, like, how am I going to balance these colors to try to make it where I can, you know, in the end have some sort of choice where I get something, cool. I get some points. So it looks like it's going to be really fun. And like I said, the card art is amazing.
Interesting. What were, so that's cool. That wraps up our Kickstarter connection. What were you guys playing this evening? Because I glanced over.
We played a couple different games.
Yeah.
One was Village Pillage.
Village Pillage.
But we're not allowed to talk about that one yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I thought I saw you guys playing Clank.
And the second game we played was Clank with the expansion The Mummy's Curse.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. What'd you guys think? How did that go? What was the...
Yeah, it's the second time Melissa and I have played it with the expansion. And this one was a three-player game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It went, of course, a little faster, I felt.
Yeah.
Because you knew what you were doing or because of the...
I think, yeah. One, we knew what we were doing. And two, we played a four-player game last time.
Okay.
I felt like... Because sometimes just a turn-based game, depending on the number of players, it can take a little longer.
So Clank is a push-your-luck sort of, but...
Deck building
game because
kind of a race, yeah, you're kind
a little bit of a race because you're trying to get the most treasure and make it back out of make it out of the wherever you're at alive.
Space we were in a dungeon
this was a pyramid.
Okay.
We were in a sphinx.
Oh, we were.
There's
in a sphinx.
Two sides of the board.
Okay, yeah.
So what is clanking? I mean,
so as you go through the dungeon, you are you could stumble and make noise, and the dragon could hear you.
Oh, and is there always a dragon?
Dragon or some sort of monster, and you're basically throwing.
Was it a mummy in this one?
There was a mummy in this one as well. There's a mummy,
mummy
and a dragon in this one.
Okay.
And you're throwing Clank cubes.
Mummy dragon, I like that though.
And as at certain times, as cards get flipped, the dragon, you pull cards from the dragon bag.
The cubes.
Yeah.
So the Clank. There are certain cards that cause noise,
yeah.
And you put your colored cubes in this kind of holding area, and when the dragon activates, you have to put the cubes into the bag. You shuffle, kind of, you know, shake the bag, and then you pull out a certain number of cubes, and if the cubes are player color cubes, then it goes on their life track, mm-hmm. and if it gets full, you die.
Ooh.
So there is player elimination, but usually it's right near the end of the game. Like, Larry died the last turn, whereas I escaped, like, the couple turns before that from the Sphinx.
Mm-hmm. Kevin beat me by 2
Yeah, I had 69 points, almost at 67, and Larry had none.
And he died.
Oh, because he died. Well, if you die in the depths, the board is kind of has an upper half and a lower half. If you die in the lower half, you don't count points at all. But if you can make it to the upper half and die, then you still get to count your points.
Because their villagers come and save you.
Oh,
that's the thing. Nice. They pull your body out.
Okay, the villagers aren't going to come in the Sphinx, but if you make it out, they're helping you. And if you make it, like, all the way out, like, I made it to the very end, like, back to the town, I get an extra 20 points, which is kind of cool.
So that pretty much guarantees you the victory in most cases, or?
Well, both of us made it out.
We both made it
out.
So
we both got the extra 20 points.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think people have won by not getting the 20 points.
Okay.
Because they're just getting so much treasure down the...
That's true. You get the extra points while the guy's fleeing, and then it...
Yeah, that's usually... Because once you're out, your turn's over. You don't have a turn.
Right, you're not getting any more points after that point. Yeah. You gotta time it just right.
Yeah,
and this one does have curses, so negative points that you can accumulate. Yeah.
The mummy is traveling throughout this area, and it could come and give you curses.
Oh, interesting. Okay, good twist. How many do they have now? Because they have several, right?
So there's they have the original, they have like a sunken treasure expansion, they have this Clank in Space, and then they have this mummy's curse.
Clank in Space is a separate game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clank has the two expansions.
Yeah.
Cool.
This Mummy's Curse is coming out soon.
All right. So let's see what else we got going on. This is coming out on the 19th. And then you guys are headed to, where are you guys headed?
We're going to Baltimore to Unpub 8.
Cool. Yeah, so, what's on the horizon there? Like, do you guys have anything you're trying to look at while you're there, or just going and absorbing the whole thing?
Yeah, so this will be our first time there. We've never been to Unpub, but as you can tell from the name, these are unpublished games. So
that's what that is.
So there will be a lot of companies and people there, designers that are just going to show off the games that will be coming either to Kickstarter or just being published.
And it's for playtesting, yeah, is the main intent.
Mm-hmm. So we'll go there. I think their special guest for the week is Matt Leacock.
Oh, cool.
From Pandemic fame. So
yeah. So you guys you're going as media.
Right.
But obviously you're going to have the opportunity to sit down and play a bunch of games that aren't out yet.
Yes.
And then you'll come back and report all your secret information to us.
Secret information.
And we'll have hookups for the rest of the year.
Secret information to our listeners,
too. That's right. We will share.
Like as much as I'm allowed to share.
Yeah. Do you think there are a lot of like top secret things that go on there?
There could be some NDA stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I think most of the stuff is there. People are playtesting. I think they just want to get the word out about their stuff.
Yeah, get the feedback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. And then did I hear there are other plans for the return?
Yes, so talk about this, Melissa.
Well, I stumbled across the another convention that's actually going on at the same time as Unpub, and it's the Big Frederick Gaming Convention. And Frederick, Maryland is pretty close to Baltimore.
Cool.
So this is actually their first convention. Mm. And it's a 3-day event. Wow. It's March 23rd through 25th. And it's going to be at the Clarion Inn and Event Center. And they're going to have Play to Win. They're going to have Open Gaming. And they're also doing the 2018 Maryland State Championships for several games. And for Diamonds, Narashima Hex, Ice Cool. And basically, if you win the qualifier
Ice
for
Cool
this...
Ice Cool has national championships? That's so awesome.
If you win the qualifier, you get your get free tickets to the regionals. And then if you win the regionals, you get free tickets and you're entered in to play at Gen Con.
Nice.
So there's a few other games but that they're also doing for the tournaments.
Cool.
But.
Are you guys going to try to compete, or are you just going
to
go hang out?
No. So what's going to happen is, because we have to get back to South Carolina, we'll probably just stop by on Sunday.
Okay.
And we've already talked to them. They're looking forward to seeing us. We wanted to give them a shout-out here on the podcast.
Yeah.
If you want to learn more about this Big Frederick Gaming Convention, go to bfgcon.com. So that's bfgcon.com. That stands for Big Frederick Gaming Convention.
Yeah, and the group putting it on has done conventions and event planning with other things, but this is their first gaming convention.
Cool. Yeah, so if you guys are going to be there, if you're in the area and you listen, let us know. We'd love to see you at either one of these two conventions. It'd be cool to connect and hang out a little bit, play some games. And then, yeah, we'll be curious to see what we can borrow from their convention for future events that we put on. That'd be cool to
see. Yeah, in my email to Kevin, I was like, we're going to do research for Will.
Take notes, bring back recon. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, very cool. Well, it sounds like we got plenty of stuff on the horizon. I know that we have got a bunch of games we need to play and get videos put together for and get them out.
Yep.
And exciting that our convention season is beginning.
Yep.
So it's cool that we're getting ready to do Unpub. That's exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the games that you heard about on our podcast, like Vinyl and Fire in the Library and things like that, we have reviews on
Rice Dice
on our YouTube channel, so you can go see them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We should talk a little teeny bit. Like, we haven't finalized the plans yet, but we are hoping to put together a big hairy party surprise thing when we get to 10,000 subscribers.
Right.
What?
I thought you were saying Harry Potter, and I was excited for a second there.
Yeah,
but then you said Harry Party, and I was like, well, that is exciting. But it was about us, so it's cool.
Big Hairy Ideas, what are those called? Big H. Anyway, what do you...
Oh, I was just... Now that we're on the Harry Potter train, I was going to say, last week I spent so much time talking about the Harry Potter Kickstarter.
Oh, that's right.
And the company decided not to take it to Kickstarter. So if you're interested in it, you have to go look on their website for information. Yeah. Knight Models, they're going to do a pre-order.
Knight with a K. That was like a plan from the beginning. Like, we're going to get everybody hyped up to what's coming at Kickstarter, get all these people who talk about it. And then pull back, but everybody already wants it, so...
Sneaky.
I don't know. I think people are going to be excited about Harry Potter either way.
Maybe true, so.
But they might not have heard about it if they hadn't said they were coming to Kickstarter.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry to steal
they
your thunder.
They used us. Is that what you're saying, Katie? They used us.
They might have.
They were like, Tantrum House talked about us. Good, now switch. They weren't getting on the Kickstarter convention segment otherwise.
So, about this Harry Party.
Harry parties are the best.
Yeah.
So we're working on getting together like a prize pack.
Yeah. So we were thinking about doing 10 for 10,000, but then one of our other Ben, who isn't part of like our Monday night things, but he does so much work for Danger House, is saying, why don't we do something for the 9,000 and the 10,000?
What?
So we can do what about 9 prizes when we hit 9,000 subscribers and 10 prizes when we do the 10,000 subscribers.
So are these going to 9 different people? Yes. Or is this one mega prize pack?
9 different people.
So peoples. Lots of hair, not big hair.
And this is, we're talking about our YouTube channel recently. Yeah. Subscribers.
Although you should subscribe to everything. Like us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
So I mentioned this on our one of the most recent board games coming to Kickstarter video, and I got a lot of cool feedback from that. So I
think and a lot of subscribes.
Lots of subscribers. Cool. I think that was the most subscribers in a day. I think it was over 200 subscribers
in
that
one
day.
Wow. That's exciting. That's so that was super awesome.
That's really cool. So we are currently on track to hit 9,000 sometime in April and hopefully 10,000 sometime in May. Cool. And if we could do that, we're going to give out like 19 prizes. And maybe in my next video, I'll show some of the games that we're going to be sharing to our lucky winners.
So if you haven't subscribed already, please do. We'd love to have those numbers. And then tell people about us because that's the best way to do it is just to get the word out and say, hey, these guys are, you know, trying to do cool stuff. So,
they're trying to.
Yeah. We'll let you be the determiners of that, but that's our goal. So we like sharing stuff and we hope you guys enjoy it. And I think that pretty much wraps us up for tonight. So we will say goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!